Something that's hard to describe, isn't it? I wonder what our descriptions would be as we went around the room today. Hopefully they'd be a little bit different than some of those. But the reality is that love is hard to describe. And John, in the book of 1 John, has taken the time to describe love for us. What it means for God to love us, first of all, and then for us to love him in return. As we look at 1 John 4 this morning, we'll be continuing on in our study, our unique series, as we understand the uniqueness of this passage of Scripture. Because it talks about a unique relationship, it talks about a unique love, it talks about a unique life, it talks about unique relationships, it talks about a lot of unique things that are unique to us because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we have come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, as we have put our faith and trust in Him, we are reminded of these unique qualities that we have instilled into our lives because of that relationship that we have with Him. And so as we continue on in this study, we are just building again on a theme that has been repeated two times earlier in chapter 2 and then in chapter 3 in this idea of love, this unique love that comes from God himself. Let's pray together and then we'll look at the word. Father, we thank you for this morning and the opportunity to gather together again to worship you. We thank you that we have the freedoms to open the word. We have the freedom to be able to gather together this morning and to express our worship to you without fear. And Father, I pray that as we spend this time this morning in your word, challenge our hearts, open our hearts. I pray that your spirit might move among us, that we might leave here different than when we came in, because you have spoken to us. I pray that you might be seen, that you might be heard, and that you might do your work in our hearts and lives this morning. Thank you for the privilege of being here. I thank you for the privilege of being able to open your word this morning and share what you've laid upon my heart. Guide us this morning, Father. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If we look at 1 John chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 21. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. John writes this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is the love of God, that he made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, His brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And so John here brings us back again to this theme of love and loving one another, and that God is love. And where our love is, it is founded and rooted in the person of God through his son, Jesus Christ, who he sent to die on the cross for our sins so that we might have an intimate personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so this morning, as we look at this, John is just expanding on what he has already talked about. He broadens this a little bit and enhances the significance of the love that God has for us through his son, Jesus Christ, and what he has demonstrated to us. And as we understand that love, and as we see that love being worked out in our lives, and as we participate in that love, we grow in our relationship with God. And it all starts with how we love one another. And that's important, because that's the demonstration. We're going to look at two things this morning. First of all, we're going to look at how love is defined in this passage of Scripture, verses 7 through 12. And then in verses 13 through 21, we're going to be talking about how love is demonstrated. And in those two things, we get a broadened picture of what John has been talking about. We have this theme that is running through 1 John, and we talked about it last week, where John continually develops these theological concepts and this theological understanding. He first starts off with the understanding that God is, or Jesus is, the Son of God, and was here in human form in chapter 1, the first four verses. Here is this individual that we had communication with, we sat down with, ate with, fellowshipped with, did ministry with, but he is also the Son of God, and we experience that part of who Jesus is. And that theme runs through the book of 1 John. Other themes run, and they are theological, doctrinal concepts, as we talked last week, that help us to be able to live our life in such a way that we reflect the image of Jesus Christ in everything that we do. Theology matters. Theology is important. We all live by some theology. Our understanding of who God is, how God deals with man, how God has brought man into relationship with himself, we all live our lives with that understanding. And this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we are reminded again that this is a way that we ought to live, because this is what God demonstrated to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We should love one another as the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as family. We should love one another. Do we do that? That's the question this morning. So John, in this passage that we just looked at this morning, 7 through 21, is focusing on the moral test of love. The moral test of love. The passage describes what true love is, and that it is also available to each and every one of us. Oh, we watch this video and it's cute, and we hear some cute things about people trying to describe love, and hear what, you know, we hear those statements and those sayings and those things that are on a person's heart or on their minds trying to describe love. But the reality is we're listening to John through the Holy Spirit speak the words as God says, here is how love is defined. And here is how love is demonstrated. We talked about John not pulling any punches. We talked about John being straight up in our face, telling us this is how it is. It's either this way or this way. You are either walking with God or you're not walking with God. There isn't any gray area here. You're either loving God and loving your brothers and sisters in Christ as you ought to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, or it's hating them. If I love my brothers, then I'm loving God, I'm abiding in Him. If I don't love my brothers and sisters in Christ, I hate God. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? But that is the reality of how God sees our relationships with one another. So how is love defined? Well, we're looking at and being challenged by the statement that we started off our study with. Does our practice equal our profession? That's what we're challenged with this morning, again. Is our practice matching our profession? I say that I love God and I love Jesus Christ, that I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but my practice is totally different. My practice doesn't match up with what I'm saying over here. And so we're challenged again this morning. God is giving us the ultimate definition of love. If you turn to John chapter 13, and if you would read through the Gospel of John as we were studying 1 John, you would see some parallels. Here's Jesus' teaching being reiterated again here in 1 John. Why? Because John heard Jesus teach these concepts and heard him teach and live these principles out. And so John reiterates this again in 1 John as he is writing to the churches. Verses 34 and 35, Jesus says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." How is love defined? Love is defined by loving God. Love is defined by how we love other people. That is how love is defined. John begins with, back in 1 John chapter 4, how does he begin this? Beloved, an endearing term. He's speaking to them on their level. I love you. I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to encourage you. Beloved, let us love one another. Let us love one another. Now, we understand what love is all about as we continue on through this passage. John defines love, or God defines love in this way. First of all, it's unconditional in verse 10. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Love is unconditional. Paul tells us that in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated his love toward us in this way, that while we were yet sinners, he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. Love is unconditional. There is nothing that we are going to be able to do to gain the love of God because we are sinful individuals, first of all. But God loved us in that condition. Love is unconditional. We talked about Christ being that propitiation before, back in chapter 2. The idea of Christ being that propitiation has the idea of the mercy seat. And if we remember back into the Old Testament and we remember the tabernacle and the temple, and we remember the Ark of the Covenant and the fact that there was that mercy seat that was on the Ark of the Covenant, and once a year the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the Lamb and sprinkle it on the mercy seat for the forgiveness of the sins of the nation of Israel. Christ became that mercy seat. Christ became that substitute, that atoning sacrifice for our sins. And John reminds us of that. Here is how God loved us, this unconditional love toward mankind. So how are we to love our brothers? We are to love our brothers and sisters unconditionally. As God loved us, we are to love others. It is unconditional. Number two, it's sacrificing. Verses 9 and 10. Again, that idea of Christ being sacrificed for our sin. God gave up his only son. How much more of a sacrifice could we give toward one another? So how do we sacrifice? In demonstration of our love for God, as God loved us, and as God demonstrated his love toward us. It could be anything, really. It could be time, it could be effort, it could be resources, it could be, how are we sacrificing? Are we willing to sacrifice for our brothers and sisters in Christ? What a perfect example that we have with Wanda. How do we love Wanda as God loved Wanda? We sacrifice time. We have an opportunity to go and just minister to her. It may be resources. It may be something that she needs, but we're willing to sacrifice ourselves for the good of someone else. God gave his son and demonstrated his grace. The third way love is defined is that it's complete. In verses 11 and 12, how does John say it? If God loved us, love others. Did God love us? You know, the idea of the word, sometimes as we read in Scripture, we read that if word, and we could translate it since. Since God loved us, love others. Love one another. Is that hard at times? Sure it is. We're human beings. We have the irritations. None of us are perfect. All of us have our little quirks and our little idiosyncrasies that sometimes impact the way that we can love one another. But the reality is that we need to put all those things aside and love as God loved us and sent his son to die on the cross. How do we develop these things? Well, we grow in it. As we grow in our love for God and our understanding of his word, as we are challenged, as we continue to reflect it, as we continue to put things aside in our lives, and as we continue to be introspective and reflective, and as we continue to try and grow in our understanding of who God is and in our walk with Christ, then we grow in our love for brothers and sisters because we're growing in our love for God. God loved us, so we are to love one another. God demonstrated his love toward us. Now we need to demonstrate that love toward others. How do we love? Verses 7 and 8. Let's move back there again. It's through relationship and experience. The word that John uses here for know means and has that idea behind it, that it comes from experience. How do we know God? Well, it's through experience. It's that experience of confession of sin. It's that experience of humbling ourselves before him. It is that experience of knowing that our sins are forgiven because we've placed our trust and faith in Jesus Christ, in his shed blood on the cross. It all comes from experience. And as we experience that love of God in our lives because we are seeking to know him better and we are seeking to walk as he walked and we are seeking to live as he lived, we know that we are abiding in him because we know him by experience. We have experienced his love and we know that we continue to abide in him and live in him. And that's by practice. Our practice, matching up with our profession, leads to that experience and us knowing God. John is speaking from experience, isn't he, as he writes 1 John. He mentions that in the first four verses of the book. Here is my experience with Jesus Christ. Here is what I know because I have this relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'm not speaking out of turn here. It is by experience because I know him personally. How well do we know God? How well are we growing in our relationship with him? Is the Word of God having an impact on our hearts and lives? Is it transforming us? Is it changing us? Are we reflecting the image of Jesus Christ in our life? As we walk out of this building, do people see something different in us because of our relationship with him? I'm not talking about just coming to church. I'm not talking about carrying the right Bible, knowing when to stand up, knowing when to sit down. What I'm talking about is God changing our hearts. Is he continuing to conform us to the image of his Son? Is he challenging us in our walk with Christ? As we spend time in the Word, for me, it's a daily experience. It's a daily experience of being challenged in my walk with him. Evaluating, checking, matching my life up with the Word of God so that I might better reflect the image of Christ. Well, I pray that that's all of our prayer and our desire is to continue to mold ourselves into the image of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's what love is. We love God. We want to know him. We want to develop this intimate relationship. Chris and I have been married 39 years, and we are continually getting to know each other. We go through those different stages in life, and things change, and you know, kids move out. Sometimes kids move back in, and then they move out again, and they move back in and move back out again. You know, we've had that experience. But life changes. Parents get older. Life is just different. And through each one of those experiences, we get to know each other a little bit better. And my prayer that is as we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, and as we continue to live and experience God's love in our lives and how God is working and continually moving and shaping us, that we love him more today than what we did yesterday. Oh, that God might challenge our hearts, that we might love him as he has loved us. Let's move on to verses 13 through 21. How is love demonstrated? At the end of this, I'm going to give you 5 reasons why we should love from this passage, okay? So if you want to leave enough room for your notes there so you can jot these down. But verses 13 through 21, love demonstrated. Verse 13 tells us that we know by experience that we live or we abide in him, that we have taken up housekeeping in him, because he has given us his Spirit. The Holy Spirit abides in us, lives in us. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, here's another one of those. If you were doing an inductive study and you had a section that you were working on theology, this is what you would write down. We have the Holy Spirit that abides in us. God gives us his Holy Spirit when we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, as a guide, as a mentor, as one who leads and directs in our lives. And that is the truth of the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit who teaches us and molds us and shapes us. That's how God demonstrated his love for us. What did Jesus say as he was leaving? I will not leave you, what? Comfortless. But I'm going to send another comforter. And that other comforter was the Holy Spirit that came and now indwells in us. The person of God, in that person, the Holy Spirit, is now indwelling us as we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's how love is demonstrated. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you someone who is going to teach you and help you to grow. God demonstrated his love in that way. In verse 14, we have seen him, Jesus Christ, who God sent into the world. God demonstrated his love in sending his son into the world for each and every one of us. Now I said I wouldn't give up one of my sons for you, but God gave up his son for us. Is that a demonstration of love? I love you to death. I love you. I love you as a church family. But I'm sorry, I'm not going to sacrifice one of my kids for you. But God did that for us because he loved us that much. I am willing to give up my son so that I might have a relationship with this people that I created. Yeah, that's verse 14. Verse 17, we know that we are his child because we act and look like him. It's kind of interesting as you start to look at families, there's that family resemblance, isn't there? You know, that's how Chris and I get to know the kids because, oh, you look like your mom and dad. Sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing. All the time it's good. But there's this family resemblance. Love is demonstrated in the fact that we look alike. You know, our kids look alike. You know, my sons walk like I do. It's weird. I could see them walking down the street. Those are my boys because they walk like my father walked. And my brother walks. And we all kind of have this gait. I don't know what it is, but it's recognizable. And are we recognizable in the world to the one that we love? Is that a demonstration? Do people see us as God's child? Verse 18. John goes on to say, as we love God and as we understand this love and this relationship we have, we're not going to fear judgment, are we? We're going to stand before God. We may be disappointed that our lives weren't lived quite the way we thought they were going to be lived. And Scripture tells us that every tear is going to be wiped away. I think we'll get there and we'll realize, oh, there was so much more that I could have done for my Heavenly Father that I didn't do. You know, my prayer is that God, that I would hear, that all of us would hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What I don't want to hear is, depart from me, I never knew you. So we don't need to be afraid. As love is being demonstrated in us, as this is growing, as we are growing in our love for God, as we're growing in our love for others, we know that God is abiding in us, that the Holy Spirit is teaching us and changing us and shaping us and molding us into the image of God. We don't fear judgment. We don't fear that day that we stand before God because we know that we are his child. And so love dissolves all of that fear. We don't have to worry. Verse 19, we love God because he first loved us. God didn't love us because we loved him. He loved us first. That's a great demonstration of love, isn't it? Do we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, not because they necessarily love us or have done anything to demonstrate that love toward us? I love you because you are my brother and sister in Christ. Flat out. I don't expect anything from you. I don't want anything from you. I just love you because you love God and we are in this journey together, and let's help each other walk through this. How is that demonstrated? It's demonstrated in the fact that God loved us before we ever even thought about loving him. Verse 20. The truth is demonstrated by how we love others. How we love God is demonstrated by how we love one another. That's a gut check, isn't it? As we look around the congregation, as we look around at those who may have left? Do I love them as God loved me? Verse 21. As believers, John comes right out. And this command we have from him, whoever loves God should think about loving one another. What does John say there? Must. You must love one another. Why? Because the world is looking at us. The world is looking at us. And if they don't see anything different in us, our testimony is useless. Why should I spend an hour in church on a Sunday morning? Why should I serve? Why should I do anything if your life is no different than my life? I could fill up my hour doing something else. But you know, people are drawn as they see Christians loving one another. Acts chapter 2 is just that. Starting in verse 42. Programs drawing people to church, great music, great building. No. It was brothers and sisters in Christ demonstrating God's love to one another that drew people in because they saw something different than what was in the world. My prayer is that the world around us, that the Cedar Valley sees something different in us because we love God and we love one another as we should. Five reasons why we should love from this passage. First of all, God is the essence of love. If you want to jot these down real quick, God is the essence of love. Number one, that's why we should love. Number two, we love to follow God's example in sacrificial love. We love because we follow God's example of sacrificial love. Reason why we should love is that it is the heart of every Christian virtue. Love is at the heart of every Christian virtue. The reason why we should love is that love is the Christian's assurance that I am in relationship with God. And the fifth is that love is the Christian's confidence in that day of judgment. I know that I am a child of God and I stand before him redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, that today we might be challenged again as John challenges us for the third time in this matter of loving one another as God has loved us. That's a challenge. And John must have known that. He did know it through the direction of the Holy Spirit that we need to be reminded of that. Love one another as God has loved us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the challenge of your word. I pray that you might speak to our hearts. Father, I pray that we might love one another as you have loved us. I pray that we might demonstrate that in such a way that the world sees it, and that the world is challenged by it, and that the world is drawn to it and drawn to you. Father, we thank you that you loved us before we even thought about loving you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the gift of salvation that we have through him. Father, I pray that if there is someone here this morning that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that this morning might be their day of salvation. Father, I pray for each one that is sitting here in these pews, that they may have been challenged in their heart, I haven't loved the way I should. And that they may make a renewed commitment to love as you have loved us. Father, thank you for this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As Russ and Molly lead us in our closing song, I'm going to ask Ben and Megan to come and join me down here in front. And we are going to welcome another couple into our fellowship this morning. So, Ben and Megan.